Blog Talk Radio.
Sierra Hotel,
India.
Echo,
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
That may have been worth John Cena winning.
I am too. Hey, here's the thing, all right? I made that when I assumed that Yoshitatsu would be getting his payback by appearing on the card and actually doing something. Because, what's the point of being called payback if no one's really getting their payback?
Payback. Yeah, nobody really did get their... Paige sort of got her payback for... being booked to lose in her hometown, but,
So that's one. Yeah, technically, in theory, everyone won. Well, no, Sheamus got his payback, even though we didn't really, it wasn't worth it, but, for us. But
is
technically,
it bad
he got
that
his
I
payback.
Thought most of this card was shit?
Oh, no, I did as well. Huh. I think, by the way, we'll be taking in calls at 12 o'clock, but believe me, please call
us. So we have half hour for me to explain why I thought this card was shit.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go in order, but honestly, like, it's just, my brain is scattered because, I'm Matt Marrero, by the way, if I didn't mention
so
that, we're those
guys.
Do
you want to get the good points out of the way, or the good match out of the way?
Only one good match? Well, what was the good match, in your opinion? And let's see if I agree.
Yeah, it was Bo versus Kofi.
Yes, the only good match. That was a great match. That was a...
You know, we all hope that Kofi's going to be back on his feet in no time as the Wildcat.
Yeah, most definitely. God,
yeah.
Entire card. No, let's go in order.
You're
then
looking at the card now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sitting there, like, maybe Satish has a point. Maybe.
Yeah, no. No, let's just go in order and then and just talk about what was wrong with this.
Sure.
By the way, I would like everyone. Yeah, starting from the free show. I would like to mention that I came in here with high hopes because I would like to say that many of these matches had little things here and there that made you think, I wonder who's going to win. But then WWE just did their whole, well, we're just going to do the most predictable thing, and it's confusing. Okay, when there wasn't a network. When there wasn't something that could possibly destroy them, or at the very least, not bankrupt, but I used destroy in a way where it could really, give them a really, tough blow, a tough hit. When that's there, Vince, you innovate. That's what you always do. What is this? What's going on here? Hopefully they remember that, and they kind of raise the bar a bit, because this isn't good at all. This is really bad. I mean, this is mind-blowingly bad.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not to say, and I think I've talked about this before when I say that it may have been about a month and a half ago where I said the match quality has seemingly increased, over time.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I don't know if it was maybe the endings that left a sour taste in my mouth or something, but I wasn't feeling it as much. It could also have been like a layover from TakeOver. Because I really liked TakeOver, and I was so impressed with the match quality. So, I don't know what it was, but I didn't like it, the match, as much as I thought. And then the endings made it worse.
I agree, because I really feel as if I heard, we heard some rumors backstage that they were, they were telling the talent, hey, don't let these TakeOver guys, actually take over. Don't let them, show you guys up. And while I do, and it's upsetting because I really think for most of this card, the TakeOver guys, did show them up. And then the ones that did bring their best were going to do it anyway. I mean, you look at Shield versus Evolution. You didn't
right.
step into this thinking, well, this was going to be terrible. Even though we will bitch and moan about John Cena versus Bray Wyatt a lot, the content of the match in terms of, spots here and there, no one thought it was going to be a lazy match where Bray Wyatt was just going to lay down immediately upon entering. Just
correct.
As it, during his entrance, he just lays down. Obviously, there was going to be. So it didn't. It just felt.
What a
that,
troll job that would have been.
Exactly.
He just lays down. I don't need to beat you to prove my point, John. And he just lays
down. I mean,
it
would have been great. It would have been great, but in my opinion. But at the same time, yes, it would have been a troll job, obviously. But still, yes, it was just. It's just some people just. I don't. You know, it was hard for them to give their all when. I feel as if, you know, they felt as if they knew where they were, I think. I think that's an issue, maybe. And also the fact that many of the endings were either predictable. I'm not saying I wanted, let's say, RVD to beat Wade Barrett, but it would have been unpredictable in a way that he could have easily had RVD overcome him a month later, and then we would have been okay. You know, it's just...
I mean, because it's weird. Like, I'm not going to complain about that. It's just... Because that wasn't bad. That wasn't really
no,
bad
but it's just,
for me.
No, but it's...
But, yeah,
but it's
it was...
part of the greater...
It was predictable.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's part of the greater scheme of things.
I mean,
but yeah,
we can tackle this in order. And,
yeah, we will.
Maybe
we
I'll
will.
Soften up on the card as it goes along, I guess.
No,
but
no we won't.
No, I will until we get to, like, certain points, because certain things really irk me. Unfortunately,
true.
One of them being the opening match of the night that wasn't the pre-show. But let's hit on the pre-show.
Right. So we have El Torito versus Hornswoggle. Now, originally my thought was everything about this was bad. And then I started to lighten up a bit, right? Where the thing is, the match wasn't even the worst thing in the world. It's just, it's the same thing with the quote-unquote WLC match. The match was in no way terrible. It's everything surrounding the match that was terrible. So you have the announce team kind of treating this like it's a joke, saying things like, poor little guy, poor little guy. I want to say poor little guy was said about 3-4 times. Which is really bad because, again, you're a company that talks about anti-bullying, right? And in a way, you're putting down the superstars who were born, you know, differently than other people in a way that some will say, oh, they're not, quote-unquote, able-bodied. You know, they're at a disadvantage, right, some would say. You are putting them down, regardless of how much money you're paying them. You are still putting them down on live television, and then you're thinking, damn, I don't know why the stocks are dropping.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Okay, first off, we knew what we were getting with this, and I've voiced my opinion on this whole storyline being shit anyway. So the mask versus hair thing, in a weird way, did legitimize it. You know, where if not for the way that this was, as you say, everything is surrounding it, if not for everything surrounding it, that's kind of cool. And the finish of the match was cool, too, where Hornswoggle was like, oh, I got his mask, I win. I was like, wait, no, it's not unmasking. Shit. And then...
But what I disliked was is that we weren't told that. We were just shown that pins were a thing, and then we accepted it. And then immediately it's, oh, yeah, Hornswoggle forgot that unmasking is an issue. Really? So, wait, so... Okay, and then all of a sudden, because it was never mentioned, it's never, you know, there's a few things tonight that really weren't mentioned to us, and it feels
definitely
are an afterthought, which is an issue
like
when
a genius finish.
Are the,
It wasn't a genius finish. I get it.
No,
I mean, I just...
I will admit, though, you know, Torito having a mask under his mask is always a beautiful thing. It's always something that I enjoy.
Did that once, and I thought it was great, because it may have been JBL or CM Punk. I think it was CM Punk. Who demasked him, and then he had a second mask and proceeded to win the match. And I thought that was funny. But, I mean, everything surrounding it, again, just brings down the match, which wasn't bad. Because these guys put in their all. And, you know, I guess the postgame was interesting with Hornswoggle because, A, he got to talk, which was great, because normally they're like, oh, he doesn't talk. And it was funny because he basically had a little heel binge where he's like, I quit, because, like, you know... He's like, Hornswoggle, do you think you got the short end of the stick? And he's like, just stop. You know, did you write that yourself? Did you?
I like that.
Are you proud of yourself?
That was
nice. And it's great because it just... And he goes on to basically flip out. And he's like, I've done 2 Hollywood movies. You've done shit. I don't need this. And
I like that.
That was cool. But so it was kind of cool to make him look strong that way. And I like that because it wasn't like a barrage of, like, jokes about him being short or something.
Right.
So that was handled okay, but it's just, they need to put this to bed. I really don't need to hear any more of Hornswoggle Torito stuff, if only because, and not because I have anything against them wrestling, because they weren't bad in the ring again, but it's just a matter of, I can't deal with what surrounds it. I really can't.
Yeah, Yes, no, because we can't deal, we see, right, we look at them being the WWE, and we see that they're very immature. And it's funny, because you would think that we're the immature ones for watching the product, but the problem is who's controlling the product. So if they made it a bit more mature, and I'm not even saying classy or high class, no, I understand that we're going to have, you know, Santino and Emma segments and things like that, and you know, and Adam Rose and Fandango, and I actually embrace those, because in no way are they really putting down someone, essentially. Right? In no way are they really saying, you know, that, but with these segments, with these, you know, with these wrestlers, you know, Hornswoggle and Alterito, it's just, it's painful sometimes.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be. That's,
no,
I
not
think
at
that's
all.
A lot of things that may have happened don't have to have happened tonight. A lot of things that went on just, it doesn't have to be predictable. You don't have to follow formulas that you've used years before, because you think, oh, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In a way, it is broke. Because
oh, yes, completely
you've monopolized wrestling to the point where you're making money no matter what, in a way, with WWE. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to improve. You know, it's like when people say, you know, oh, John's never going to change. Why are we criticizing it? It's a proven formula for success and money. They should want to do better. You know, I mean, but you should never want to settle.
Well, the thing is also I would like to bring up is, if they didn't launch the network, see, the thing is, the reason why I bring up the network so much is because if they didn't launch the network, then I would have said, well, you know what, Satish, let them do their thing. They clearly are making a lot of money and blah, 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 blah. But they've actually launched the network, which in a way is cutting into their pay-per-view sales, even though they thought originally that it would give them more money because they would be getting the money directly instead of having to get only 30 to 40% of it via pay-per-view. So they were thinking, all right, we'll get more money, and we'll put our content up that we haven't, you know, that we haven't really been using and that no one would probably buy on DVDs anyway. I mean, even though it would be a nice thought, who would buy Raw Year One, you know, on DVD or something, and then continue that? You know, it's better to have it on, like, a network or something, you know, a Netflix-type streaming service. But now they're realizing, oh, not many people are buying, and it's a lot of money to afford this, and we're not getting as much money from the pay-per-views because, you know, whatever, and et cetera, et cetera. So now you have to think, how can we change the product up to make sure that people are being invested? Now is the time. Before, maybe not, but now is the time, because even if you think, oh, it ain't broke, you know, doesn't need to be fixed. Well, something needs to be changed because you're changing. When you start changing your product, you know, to spread it around, you need to change aspects of your product, of how you're, you know, of what you're presenting, of how you're presenting it. No John Cena heel turn, mind you, but there are some things you need to change immediately, because usually I say that we don't need to be catered to, you and I, because I'm 21, you're 20, right? There's no reason to cater to the two of us. But now there is. Because we're actual consumers, you know. We're not just sitting here not buying T-shirts, watching Raw, you know, not buying pay-per-views. We're actually, you know, using the WWE network, which
yeah,
is
and
major.
Let's not undermine the fact that there's also some vocal displeasure from some of the superstars who've talked about, mm-hmm. you know, the mess that has gone, where some people feel that they've been losing money so WWE could finance their network endeavors. And
yes.
Some of them who haven't felt comfortable because they feel like this whole... Normally they get bonuses for pay-per-views, and that's not working as smoothly as it used to because since the network. So that's another thing where if you're going to have a company that's now in disarray, whether you're a billion-dollar company or a $100,000 company or a $10,000 company, it runs from the top, and if it seems that they don't know what they're doing at the top, there's going to be disarray, there's going to be disrespect, there's time for things to swoop in. And, yeah, right now we don't have any serious competition. I mean, yeah, Ring of Honor would probably be arguably the closest one, even though
right.
they're not financially there yet. But
TNA is on television.
You should, right. But you should, yeah. I don't know, like... I don't know what they're thinking. And, yeah, it sounds weird for me, being me, to criticize someone who was, for at least 5 minutes, a billionaire, right? I mean, but he
yeah.
lost a lot of money recently. And part of that was investing in the network. But it's just, this is the time, as you said, to actually make the product
yeah.
different again. Do something risky. Do something entertaining. Work out of the box. Or at the very least, make your things make sense. You know,
yeah.
Push the guys who are who you feel people are actually reacting to, and don't stay headstrong about certain things. I can't preach it
no,
enough.
No, because
I mean,
because the thing is you know, you, the funny thing is that launching a network is risky. But if you're going to be risky, you have to be completely, you have to, you know, throw 100% in there. It's like saying, I want to ask this girl out on a date, right? Let's say that's your risky thing, which I have to, you know, I'm very shy, I have to ask this girl out on a date. So then you're thinking, well, I can't do all of that. I'll just ask her. Ask her what, Matt? I'll find out when we get there. Matt,
no,
that's not an actual, Matt, that's
for
not
me,
a...
where it feels like, you know, using that analogy,
yeah.
Like, yeah, you want to ask
right.
her on a date, but then
yeah.
you ask her to hang out as friends. It's like, no, that wasn't your intention. You half-assed it along the way. And
yes.
That's
exactly.
a problem because you presented this great idea. Yeah, of course you want to ask her on a date. That's great. It could work out for you. But then you half-ass and back off. And it's like, I don't know how much of this has to do with Daniel Bryan's injury, that they may have replanned certain things. But I feel like they're in a lot more of a mess right now than we'd like to believe they are for being such a powerful company.
Yeah, the thing is I don't want to say it's just Daniel Bryan's injury because, you know, Daniel Bryan's injury, all it stopped was Kane being on the card with Daniel Bryan. Maybe that would have stopped the Bo and – you know what's the funny thing? Bo Dallas versus Kofi Kingston. We're not really talking about it too much, but we know what happened there, right? Remember that the segment with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon lasted long enough to not have another match on the card. So in theory – that could have been Daniel Bryan's spot. So in no way did that really shift things so much, at least at this point in time.
I mean long term, because I don't know
Fair
how
enough.
Much they're freaking out. Because you're right, in terms of tonight's card.
Yes.
Like tonight's card, I wouldn't have sat there and said much different about tonight's card. Maybe I'd have said, give him a few more compliments for the match, because I assume that Daniel and Kane
right.
would have been able to work a decent match. But it still doesn't resonate with me. Like, Cesaro still should have beaten Sheamus. You know, John Cena
oh, yeah.
still did John Cena things that we will discuss that really upset me.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, then let's sit down and let's focus. I want to mention something with Booker T. You obviously saw the pre-show. So you saw
correct.
Booker T's announcement, right?
Refresh
you know,
my memory.
Kofi was there, sitting there with him.
Oh.
Were you as angered as I was?
I wasn't pleased.
One second, please. Maybe everyone doesn't really see the same context. the context, mind you, was that CM Punk chants were going on in the background. And Booker T said, breaking news. Please follow up. Dish. Don't just laugh, the dish.
What am I gonna say?
I wouldn't know what you could say, Satish. Say something.
I don't even want to. Is you okay?
I'm dying, Satish. Satish, I'm dying.
You're dying because WWE's product is terrible right now, and that
it's
they
the only thing that sustains me. It's the only thing that
sustains
me, Satish.
The only thing that sustains you is WWE.
I don't eat food. I don't eat food, Satish. I'm dying.
Well, that explains. I mean, for those of you who saw Payback, I mean, that's why Matt's dying. That's why Matt's dying. I mean, and I
what's
feel for
terrible,
you, know, shake
what's terrible
off.
Is that I'm sick. What's terrible is I'm actually sick. But I'm laughing along with the fact that I think this is the only thing that sustains me. So it's not helping the coughing fit.
You picked a really bad thing to sustain you.
Oh, yeah, I really did. Fuck. But seriously, though. So if anyone really, you know, like, to be serious, though, to get away from my coughing fit. Booker T, special announcement, breaking news, right when there's CM Punk chants hitting. And I'm thinking, what? Kofi, you have you have your gear? You have a match tonight. Are you? And it's funny, because I thought I put CM Punk behind me. But then random little coincidences like that happen.
It's interesting because the Punk chants, I didn't know what to expect because
right.
it's been more set in stone that the guy's retired now. So
yes,
much so
yes.
that Stephanie McMahon was actually able to mention it on air.
I'm really wondering if, you know, they got an okay from Punk or if they just thought, well, he's done. Like if they just thought,
well, they don't need
an okay
from Punk to say that. They didn't.
That is true. That is true. That is, well, when I say okay
because
from Punk, I mean it in
a
way that
I don't think it's even a, like a burn any bridges way, because even if you say that, right? Like, he's
right.
just sitting there like, ha, they're right. I'm retired.
That is true.
You know
that
mean?
Is true.
Like, I don't think it's not like they were like, you quit like a bitch like CM Punk.
Right,
like,
right,
quit.
Right.
And CM
right,
Punk
right, right.
did quit. That is a factual
mm-hmm.
thing. You know, so
mm-hmm.
That one, did, I don't think, hurt. But, yeah, I just... And it was, and Heyman just mentioned it, but you know, in the beginning, and that was that. And I think the crowd actually stopped chanting CM Punk for a bit, of only because the first hour, as that's you, was so disappointing that
yeah.
they stopped caring about
that
the event.
No. I mean, maybe. But what I think really happened, though, is because I think it's because, okay, if this was New York, I think we wouldn't have cared. I think in New York, we're just jerks. We wouldn't have cared. We would have kept going. But Chicago
right.
understood. Chicago understood, and they knew. Yeah, he's at the Blackhawks game. This is going to be stupid. Why would we chant his name? We
and
chant
he is
his name
at the Blackhawks game,
him.
I believe. I think that's
yeah.
factual.
No, that is factual, yes. Punk said he would be at the Blackhawks game.
Yeah.
So there's no reason
usually, mm-hmm.
there's no reason as to why he wouldn't be there. So you look at it and you go, all right, yeah, he's there. There's no reason to chant his name because you chant his name because you want him. In certain crowds, like I feel like the New York crowd, we chant as if to say, this segment is boring. Give us Punk somehow, right? Where they just chant, we just want Punk in general, guys. Like, we'll just chant.
Yeah, because that's hometown, you know, and
yeah, exactly.
you're right. Chicago probably understood because Heyman was right.
Yeah.
He wasn't
and
there.
And what's funny about, what's great about Heyman, I want to say, is I feel like he's the one who's, other than Stephanie, I guess, you know, I thought he would be the only one allowed to really mention anything because they're both friends in real life, if anyone doesn't know. You know, there's no bad blood between the two. Like, they will actually, they don't really discuss the business anymore, but there's been some talk from Paul Heyman that he's, you know, it's like, oh, have you talked to CM Punk recently? And Heyman will go, yeah, we'll just talk. You know, we'll talk to each other on the phone and talk about True Detective. You know,
yeah, no, because
finale.
Heyman basically set up CM Punk to have his wrestling career and fought for him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for you to imagine them as not being friends. But,
yeah
I mean, it's
everything
about Payback struck me weird, man. Because
yeah.
there was a part of me that even though hope has been lost for like 99% of the country, right, I thought that at least Chicago would be kind of raucous with their CM Punk fans. You know, because I thought they would try. But
right.
it is. I think it's a combination of both of what we said, where I think you're right in them saying, you know, they're intelligent enough to realize no matter how hard we chant CM Punk, he is actually not going to be here tonight. We should probably just put it to bed. And
exactly.
I think they stopped caring about the card for a bit because they were so bored, I would almost say.
Yeah.
I'd argue
yeah.
they were bored. I mean.
Okay, fair enough. And then, you know, and we focus on the first match, which, you know, jumping to the first match, I would like to mention that the match itself, good. Right?
Yeah.
I enjoyed
yeah,
the match.
I'd give you that.
You know, the match was actually, you know, great, and I thought there were a lot of twists and turns that made me think, all right, who's going to win? But I assumed that even though I would like to say I don't like heels winning when they're overly jerks and that don't make sense, right? Like, Bray Wyatt makes sense, so I can say, all right, he makes sense in, you know, the things that he says. If he wins, okay. CM Punk, when he was here, would make sense in certain things. Okay, if he wins. Cesaro is just being plain mean. But at the same time, so it's like, all right, I don't really respect that usually. But he's also getting his push, like a man named Wade Barrett. So I'm thinking, all right, if he wins, so be it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. And not only did he not win, mind you, he lost by what I would consider a dirty pin. I don't consider it clean. Maybe it's just me, especially from the guy that likes to fight, the guy that we've been told to would rather, you know, punch Cesaro in the back of the head, stomp on him a bit, and then take the pin, which is
but
like, all
right,
well, that's...
Heyman was harping around, you know, in the postgame, where he was basically
yeah.
saying, like, he should be ashamed of himself. It's funny, because I don't know if I consider that a dirty pin. The only reason I would consider a dirty pin is because I played, I think it was SmackDown vs. Raw 06.
Where
I know,
the
like,
dirty pins are, you know, when you put your feet on the rope. I know.
No, because there's a possum playing possum thing
right.
For that pin. But that's a face
yes.
tactic, I think. And the dirty
Which
pin is using the ropes or using
Which
the
Which is interesting, because it's
so,
just...
I don't particularly... Because I think... Do you remember we had the discussion where we talked about, like, you know, when a face does it, it's good. When a heel does it, it's bad. So, like,
exactly.
when a face does a possum pin, it's clever. But when a heel does it, it's kind of sneaky and underhanded.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's just...
It's one of those borderline things where whoever does it, it's supposed to matter. So for Sheamus doing it, it's, man, that was a smooth move by Sheamus. You know, but Cesaro did it, it's like, man, that was underhanded. So,
you know what I think it is, too? I just think it's a character thing. If Daniel Bryan did it, even though he is the face of the company, still it's, you know what? That is technical. Or Seth Rollins, you know, it's a technical.
You know,
like,
see, it's good that you mentioned Daniel and Seth. You know why? I think body types.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Those are the type of guys that naturally in the ring look to you like underdogs. So when they pull off something like that, it's like, yeah, wow, that makes sense. John Cena or Sheamus, bigger guys, who try to do a small package, that's like, what the hell are you doing, bro? You're already up. It's like, you know,
and
like taunting.
Win
of
off
stuff,
of
you know?
It, it's just, it feels like, that's what I had a better term. Not cheap. It felt dirty. No, sorry, reverse.
It's
not
felt
dirty. It felt cheap.
Okay.
No, it felt cheap. No, it felt a cheap win. That's what I meant. Sorry, flip
it
around. Not a dirty win. Cheap.
I guess it just bothered me only for the sake that Sheamus was the one winning. I mean, I didn't give a damn how he won. I just had an issue with the fact that he won.
I guess.
No business winning, Sheamus. You don't have any business winning right now. You matter. I understand that you matter. You're not tail end of your career and stuff like that. But Cesaro has been needing a push for a while now. And if you wait too long on something, it's going to lose its heat and potential. And Cesaro's really needed that fucking push. I'm sorry, he just really needed it.
No,
and
it's true. And
this
just
was the perfect time.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Because what it feels like, you see, here's the thing. Again, Sheamus does matter. But with where he is in his career currently, at this specific point in time, he was the perfect transitional champion.
Yeah, and if this turns into a larger, big-picture storyline for Cesaro, yeah, that'll be cool. But right now, based on my reaction in the moment, I am very disappointed. Because
based on what WWE has been doing recently,
it seems as if
we're trying to, as the fans, pass them balls. You know, and they're like, guys, so you know what? Okay, you did this. Fine, here's the ball. Just take it. And then they just drop it. I don't even think they try to catch it. I think they just we're not even throwing it at them. We're just handing it to them. Here's the ball, guys. Just can take it. And then they just don't pick it up. And it's going to be nothing.
It also feels like they're just inconsistent because it felt like Cesaro was going to get a push for a bit, you know? And now, I don't know. So we'll see what happens with him tomorrow night in terms of what he'll do next. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm obviously biased because I like Cesaro a lot more than I like Sheamus. So I'm more biased to Cesaro winning this match, of course.
It's not even biased.
I just think it makes sense in storyline for him to be the one winning. And so that immediately, I mean, the pre-show putting that behind me, that put a bad taste in my mouth. Because I sat there and I was like, wow, that was it? That was the match? I mean, ugh.
Yeah, because I will admit, you want to put Cesaro in your WWE World Heavyweight title picture. For me personally, I wouldn't mind at this point because of how long he's been around and for what he's done. The issue is that obviously, from a storyline perspective, it doesn't make too much sense unless maybe Heyman comes out and says, well, my other guys have gotten this, so because of my own, you know, obviously he deserves it. But unless we're doing that, from the looks of it, it's, all right, he needs to win a quote-unquote lesser title to work his way up.
He needs to win something. I mean, he needs to at least come off a pay-per-view win to look strong to do it. You know, right now, he just lost. So a small package or not, he lost. So I don't know what the hell we're supposed to feel about that, to be honest with you.
Yes, and it's also very upsetting because, you know, before we move on to the second match of the night, or the second match on the actual card, I would like to mention that it sucks because this was, in my opinion, highly anticipated. Because in this match, I will admit you didn't know where it could have gone because I think that, you know, as you said, it does make sense that Cesaro gets that push, but at the same time, Sheamus is a face who is John Cena light. So you were thinking, dang, I wonder which one it's going to be. And then it's just, yes, the face. Because why wouldn't it be? And it's like, all right, really, this is where we're going? Okay. You know, and again, as you mentioned, the first match of the night for some. Just the first match of the night. Yeah, Cesaro, that strong Superman guy, just lost to the other guy. Huh.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird. I don't agree with the decision. But
me neither. That's the first one we don't agree with. And then we move on. And then before we move on, we actually do have a caller. So I'd like to patch him in. Hello, caller.
Of all the time for me to buy WWE stock.
I will admit, I want to buy WWE stock as well, because I do have faith in it going up. I just don't have faith in the product getting better, in a weird way. Like, I'm worried that the product won't get better, but it might go up because, I mean, the stocks are tricky that way.
But it was $11.
It's okay, Daniel. This is Daniel, everyone. It's okay, Daniel.
Arguably, it is $11, but even if it goes up to $17 and you've bought one stock, you've made $6.
Yeah, so you should probably buy...
I actually bought $50 worth of stock.
Good.
Congratulations, you'll be making
$30. I want to buy some stock as well, I'll be completely honest. It's just that, you know, because I do, it's weird. I do have faith that things will turn around. It's just that I'm not saying that the faith is placed in the fact that the product will become so much better. It's just people are ficky. People are fickle, you know?
Yeah.
Things will just change immediately. So out of nowhere, all of a sudden it's just, wait a minute. WWE is doing better, and then all of a sudden these whispers of WWE doing better, even though there was no actual proof that they were doing better, and then the stocks rise again.
All right.
So, but anyway, yeah. So I assume you watched Payback. Yes, Daniel?
Yes, I did.
Good, good. How was Payback for you?
I liked it.
Okay, thank God. He changed his, he's like, I loved, you know what, I liked it.
I liked it, okay.
All right. But that's the thing. You liked it, though. That's an issue, by the way. Because everyone, listen, Daniel liked the pay-per-view. He didn't love it.
Actually, I have a text from Daniel that says, excellent pay-per-view.
Uh-oh.
I did.
Now there's some inconsistencies.
I was on the high of the last match, okay?
Oh, actually, no, I'll give him that, though, Satish. The last match will change your opinion, and all of a sudden you'll sit there, you'll look at the results, and you'll think, damn, this was bad. But the high of the last match, because I will admit, at first, the last match did not impress me. And then by the end, it made me think, oh, wow, this was main event level. Good match.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, I want you to think for me for a second, Dan. Can you remember how you were feeling before the main event started?
I was like, okay. Well, because before the main event started, that was Paige and Alicia Fox.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm like, Alicia Fox's, spoilers, loss, didn't really faze me that much. Like,
Which is funny because for some of the other pay-per-views, they've been doing they've been saying screw it to the cooldown match, and they've been going one match after, one strong match after another. And honestly, I think this would have been a great pay-per-view to do that. Because after that John Cena Bray Wyatt match, the Divas match looked as if it was just nothing, which is very upsetting because it was
very short again, I think. I don't know if it was just me.
I want to say, okay, even though we're jumping the gun here, I would like to say that I believe it's because of Alicia Fox. Because obviously Paige can go in the ring, right? Obviously we've seen her go in the ring a bit longer with other people. Maybe Fox can't carry the match. Everyone knew that. They wanted to make it a bit shorter.
Yeah.
I haven't seen too much of Fox, of wrestling, and I haven't seen her wrestle 10 to 15-minute matches. So that could possibly be a reason why, because we can definitely see Paige doing that.
I think they cut it short in favor of the Shield Evolution and the Cena Bray matches.
Well, I'll give you that, too. There's a good chance.
Because did you guys like Cena Bray?
We'll get to that later. Oh, the pain. I still have pains. I still feel pain. Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. But don't worry, Daniel. We'll freaking get to that. But it wasn't a bad match.
It wasn't a bad match. It's just how it ended. It just spoiled it for me. I'm like, oh, no. I saw where this was going. I see where this is going.
Yeah. But it's okay, Daniel. It's okay here's the thing. The only saving, anything that saves that match is the fact that Bray Wyatt, I hope at least, David Rotunga? Is that his name? David?
What, IRS?
No. Actual Bray Wyatt. His real name.
I thought it was Mike, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Mike could be his dad.
Either way, the point is, Okay, Mike, if he doesn't have a heart attack tonight, if he's just fine, if he's okay into the morning, into, you know, the next day and whatever, he will still have his amazing promos.
Yes, he will.
So that
he
can be the
only
thing. He was
literally buried.
Oh, literally, yes. I wanted to say that first. I wanted to say that first, but sadly you beat me to it. Yeah, he was literally buried. But as long as they let him speak. Now, if they start cutting down his mic time, it may be one of those situations where we cannot renew the network in, you know, in 3 months.
They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't
dare.
No,
that's the thing. That's the thing.
No,
they
would dare, Daniel. They would dare.
I got to sell my stock fast.
Yeah, you got to sell your stocks immediately before they're pennies. But before that, you know, they're worth that much. But anyway, thank you for calling in, Daniel.
No problem,
see you. And, you know, happy to have you on, and definitely keep on listening. And for anyone else who wants to call in, remember, the number is 718-664-9468. Number again is 718-664-9468. We actually have a lot more time to go. I mean, we have a lot more to discuss. And, you know, definitely chime in because, I mean, we'd love to hear from you. So let's see where – oh, we were actually up to the tag team match, right, backtracking a bit.
Which not really announced.
According,
I mean,
to
on the
you.
Pre-show, maybe it was?
Yes. That's the thing. On the pre-show. But that is a very bad way to, you know, fill up time, which, again, I bring up. I feel as if the WWE thinks that we are, you know, oh, we'll let the consumers in on this eventually. And then you think, guys, you're a really huge company. You know, you need the money. There's a difference between maybe me forgetting to update a post, you know, at this point of our, you know, of our podcast, you know, life, versus them not telling someone that a match is on the card for a pay-per-view that people will either be purchasing for $60 or viewing on the network, which they have already paid for.
It's just, okay. The finish where we got Cody basically breaking up with Goldust
was awesome.
I like that, if only because it finally means they're doing something with it story-wise instead of just, like, you know, sitting
And it's
there.
Not the predictable thing.
No, and that's really cool because it wasn't like a Cody turning on him. It was just, right now I don't think I'm good enough for you. And that's cool. That intrigued me.
Yes. And I'll mention,
I feel like
Goldust,
they didn't
blow it. Yes. But Goldust getting manhandled in the beginning was also great because even, you know, because Cody got in from the hot tag. And just watching this match was making me really happy. And then all of us,
wasn't a bad in-ring match. It wasn't great, but, like, I didn't.
And I think what was great, though. You go.
No, I feel like I've seen this so many times before that seeing it on the pay-per-view, the only thing that helped it was the fact that they gave me story progression after. Because otherwise I would just be like, meh. Why should I care?
And that's a problem because it's very interesting. They have so many guys on their cards, and yet they choose not to use them. I mean, hell, they believe that Tyson Kidd's name has been ruined beyond repair to the point where he needs to be a masked person now. When the question they should be really asking is, do people actually know who Tyson Kidd is? And guess what? The average fan doesn't. So you don't have to repackage him. You can just throw him back out there, and they'll go, hey, look, it's a new wrestler, and no one will care. It's very interesting. Because they have that many guys on the roster.
It's weird, because it might sound like I'm disinterested tonight or something, or I'm not all there. And it's weird, because it's not like I don't care.
Yeah.
It's sort of a disappointment in me right now. And I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Like tonight, the Rhodes Brothers lost again, and I like the Rhodes Brothers. I like that they're finally doing story progression. But if not for that moment, I would have been annoyed again because they've half-assed all the pushes in the tag team division over the last 2 months or so.
Yeah.
Where, like, Ryback's got a mini push for, like, what, 2.5 weeks? And then,
like,
lost didn't show up on TV.
Right,
they doubly lost to Sheamus, which was beautiful. Of course,
and now we have
needed that.
Like, yes, it's amazing, right? Even though I will say all the spots that happened during the Cena Wyatt match were great. Still, we could have, like we mentioned earlier on different podcasts, we could have easily had, for in that tag team spot that just randomly was announced, you know, the Usos versus the Wyatts.
I suggested that. You agreed with it. We made perfect
That's all.
Sense.
Heck, even if they wanted to reappear again, because, you know, WWE doesn't care about overworking their workers, they could have appeared again. But still, at the very least, it could have been a way to say, hey, here are some people, and again, done it for the tag team gold. And you could have either had, you know, the Usos winning, the Wyatts winning, which would have been interesting, or the Wyatts losing by disqualification because they actually don't care.
Yeah,
although,
I think
it would have been a match.
I'll give them credit for the fact that, you know, okay, the women's title was on the line tonight.
Yes.
The U.S. title and the Intercontinental title. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Tag team title wasn't on the line. And you might say, hey, Satish, it's not a big deal because we don't have it that often. That is the problem. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
In WWE, to be the top guy, you need a championship. In the tag team division, to be the top of the tag team division, you would like the tag team titles. Thus, they should be defended relatively often because it matters, because that is the goal. So,
and relatively
if a
pay-per-view
often. Hits,
yeah.
Pay-per-view
yeah.
hits. You would
exactly.
think you find a way to have A, either a number one contenders match, which I will accept grudgingly for the titles,
yes.
or an actual title event.
Yeah.
You can't just not give one.
And I would like to mention that, you know, when you say the words, you know, when you say, you know, often, right, you think, well, how fairly often? About once a month. Well, when once a month? Pay-per-views are once a month. You know, maybe that could be when you just do it. You know, even if there's no storyline, just that can be when you actually freaking do it.
Yeah, no, and I mean, even if they half-ass the thing, the builds to these championship matches, I'd be happy to get the defenses because we need them. I mean, some people won't even remember the Usos are the tag team champions.
I believe it's been 2 months since they've defended it. I'm pretty sure it's been 2 months because it wasn't at the last pay-per-view, and the last pay-per-view was Extreme Rules. Heck, I don't even – heck, they didn't even happen at – oh, no, it did happen at WrestleMania.
No, but see, I was just about to say, you just mentioned they didn't defend it at Extreme Rules. They didn't defend it at Payback either. That's back-to-back pay-per-views. Pay-per-views without a defense of our unified tag team titles.
Yeah.
We used to have two of them. The
and
unified
that worked.
Tag team titles. I made the same argument. I said we would throw a fit if the WWE World Heavyweight Championship was treated like the women's title last week. Well, we should be throwing a similar kind of fit or being angry about the fact that the top tag team title, the only tag team title, hasn't been defended now in two pay-per-views. That's terrible. And I like the Usos. I want to like them. And you could have had them go over on the Wyatts based on some kind of slick speed or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But you didn't let it happen. And instead you had this Rhodes Brothers thing, which could have played out on Raw.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because what happens then, you know, the Usos don't get shown that much on TV. And then, or at least, you know, defending the tag team titles. And then someone in the back gets the bright idea of, I guess no one likes them. Excuse me?
And it's just,
well, no one likes them because, well, no one likes them because.
You didn't put them on TV.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, we didn't put them on TV because no one liked them when they were on TV. You mean when they were getting the cheers, whenever, they still get cheers whenever, you know, they're about to finish their catchphrase. And then it's, well, it's their catchphrase that's over. It's not them. They are not an extension of their catchphrase. According to
and
WWE.
They are, arguably. But
it
upsets me because, yeah, we're sitting here just going on and on after this Rhodes Brothers thing. But we could have had that, or, as much as I liked, you know, Bo having a moment, right? We didn't need that tonight. We
Not
could have had that on Raw, and you could have made the same little story moment where it's like, oh, the Authority is mad at Kofi for talking. You know, that's great. I'll let him get beat up on Raw. There's a second.
Yeah, That's the problem. If they were doing very well right now, if they, being the WWE, if they had all the money in the world to do anything they wanted to, and I know you might still think they are, but honestly, they are losing money, and it's kind of getting bad. If they had all the money in the world, right, then you could argue that these pay-per-views that aren't WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series could be more like just actual special events, right? But
mm-hmm.
currently, they cannot be that because they aren't doing well. Currently, every single pay-per-view, arguably, has to be WrestleMania.
And it also works off the whole point you were making earlier about the fact that we just launched the network, and it really
yeah.
is still in its early stages. It has been impressive, but you have to keep the product at a high level because at some point people binge-watch pay-per-views and the old stuff. And what happens when they get tired of the old stuff? Because the original commitment required was 6 months. And arguably,
yeah.
6 months is a lot of time to watch any old stuff that you want to see.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So now you've got the current product. And while NXT is definitely picking up some of the slack, much respect to that.
Yes.
It's going to be a problem if, you know, when these 6 months are over, everyone has seen whatever they want to see from the Attitude Era or the 80s or whatever. And now they're disappointed with the current product. Why should they renew? You know, why would they renew? You, at the very least, needed to turn it up to 11 for these 6 months. And...
Yeah.
I'm sitting here very disenchanted with WWE right now after this pay-per-view. There were some good things to take away from Payback. I'm not going to lie about that. I've calmed down now. But this was not a card that was worthy of being one of the 6 months of your original WWE Network subscription.
No. No, this was worth, if you know, this is worth the original plan of, oh, yeah, you buy a pay-per-view that probably won't be getting a lot of buys anyway because it's Payback. And then
right.
we call it a day.
You haven't earned all of these subscriptions yet. You're already underperforming in the amount of subscribers that you've desired versus the ones you actually have.
Right.
And you're sitting here and making the product seem a little bit boring, a little bit uninteresting, and you may have to then make up ground for already lost ground. If you're,
yeah.
you know, if you're at 700,000 subscribers, not all of those 700,000 are going to renew, then you're in trouble because you have to make up for those people and you're already down from your original number. So I would be lying if I said I wasn't worried.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because before Payback, I wasn't worried. Now, if this is the way they think they can do things...
Because I thought Payback would follow through, too. I was in the same boat as you, I would
yeah.
say. Where I wasn't that worried either. I was like, you know, Payback will come through for us, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it did.
No, and, you know, two things, and I know they sound a bit funny, but they're really true. I texted you right before Cody Rhodes lost, and I said, if Cody loses, we riot.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, he lost. Immediately, and I texted you, we riot. You know, because it's just that and the fact that Goldust looked like a sad clown when it was all said and done. And
he
I relate
because
to Goldust.
Of the face paint, and I felt very
and
bad
I,
about
and
that.
I relate to Goldust. I feel that way, too. Honestly. I mean, and it's just, even look at the Mountain Dew commercials, right? And I know now it sounds like we're really nitpicking. This was actually something I thought of in, you know, to sound nice and, like, you know, peppy, but now I kind of agree with it, even though we seem to be a bit down and gritty now. They need to have WWE guys drinking Mountain Dew. Just saying. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't fish personally. Here's a Mountain Dew commercial. All right, that's cool. Thanks. Just no, have some WWE guys. Even if it's a stupid, silly segment. It's
like
a freaking
Michael
segment.
Cole? He was already on his second diet Mountain Dew, man.
No, WWE guys. Like, I would have loved Santino just to have just came out and just said, you know, even though it's not on the card tonight, I enjoy this Mountain Dew. Like, as he's drinking it backstage, just that's all. Just that's literally the segment. Just Santino talking about how he likes Mountain Dew in his really stupid yet somehow comical, you know, Italian parody accent. I would be okay with it. I would be okay with it. Just something.
Maybe you will.
Just not, I don't know, just I'm not a big fan of these, of commercials. I mean, I'm okay with commercials during, you know, whatever, because, you need money. WWE needs money, right? But I would like it to being their own guys because it feels as if, You're connecting. Like, of course, you see these guys all the time wrestle, and hey, look, they're drinking Mountain Dew too, not just random actors. I don't care.
And before we move on from this, I just want to ask.
Yes,
because you know my memory is bad.
Right.
Did we have commercials like this during Extreme Rules?
We did during WrestleMania.
Not WrestleMania, Extreme Rules.
I don't know, but we did during WrestleMania. I can tell you
that. I don't
know
if we did.
I feel as if
we
did.
I'm sitting here thinking, I assume we did, but I'm just sitting here thinking, because I can understand that, you know, but it's just kind of weird because commercials.
It's very interesting because I do feel as if, honestly, I'll be honest, and probably I'm going to get some flack for this. I feel like we need more commercials, you know, because here's the thing. WWE has their own stuff, which is nice. Their own, like, you know, like homemade stuff that they make for, like, you know, the filler between, like, let's say a Raw comes on, right, an old school Raw. They're about 45 to 50 minutes. Because, you know, because when they were aired, there were 10 minutes of commercials. They'll have 10 minutes of their own little buffer that they've made of commercials or of, like, old, you know, past clips or something. Just, so, you know, maybe like a past promo that they'll put back on. But still, it just, there's only so much of those, you know, that the point where I remember, even though they've made more, still, they, you know, by, if you're really watching the network as much as they want you to, you're going to see them constantly, and you already will know what's there, and it'll make you want to possibly turn it off. I would be okay with actual commercials, so long as they're not YouTube commercials, like television commercials, where, you know, you're watching something older, or you're watching something that's on their live stream, and then when there's a commercial break, they put one commercial there that's maybe 10 seconds long. You know?
I'm not against it, if only because I know they're losing money and I think I would understand it.
Me too. Yeah, I'd just so long as it isn't like a YouTube video where here's the ad that's playing. No, not a fan of that. If they've actually tried to, when something's done playing in their live stream, to just throw something in there, here's a 10-second Transformers thing. Here's, like, you know, here's this product. Here's this product, you know. Here's this, like, here's, you know, it's like Mountain.
I'm,
maybe,
fair,
like,
I'm not
going to
be happy about it, but I would understand it.
Yes. I would understand.
Let's head back to the card, because there's a lot of things that I'm very displeasured with, and I'd like to get them out.
There's Rusev versus Big E. I actually wasn't as angry as I should have been.
You know why? Because Big E is an amazing fucking human being. My
much,
God.
Yeah.
First
oh,
off,
yeah, oh,
he
yeah.
comes to the ring in a fucking blue, white, and red Americanized outfit, waving the flag in unison with Alexander Rusev.
Yeah.
God damn it, Big E, you're great. And not only did he do that, he did that with excitement. He ran down to the ring, mouth open, happy as hell. And he did one of my favorite spots in his matches, the spear through the second rope, which I think shows off his athleticism, his ability to target a specific spot. I love Big E. I hated this match when it was being put together. I hated watching the match. I'm really upset about that. I don't even know if I want to get into it, because I've talked about it before. This is such a stupid decision.
Well, here's the thing. It is a stupid decision. However, because, again, we've mentioned this earlier, I think, where it's just, I think on the phone, not on the podcast, where I feel as if WWE is told by people, you know, via the internet, possibly their own superstars, we don't think you like black people, right? And then they say, that's stupid, that's silly. And then it's, well, then prove something different. We don't have to prove anything to you. We're going to actually do it in spite of you now. And then it's like, wait, no, don't do that. Where it's to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if next week, and I mean this completely, excuse me, next week we have, you know, Xavier Woods, Mark Henry, Big E, R-Truth, D-Shizzle. Because why not, right? They have rehired JTG and Chad. They bring back Ron Simmons. And they all get beaten up by Rusev. Just to prove a point of, we don't care what you think, in a weird way. Where it's just, again, where I bring up the, you know, maturity level. It's, guys, remember what we're trying to do here. You can't actually think of, you know, in this corporate setting of, we need to get back at this person. Because that's
right.
What I feel is happening. I feel
and
as if,
on top of that, by the way, Rusev being pushed, this is a guy whose only good spots in a pay-per-view match were because of his opponent.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so this is a guy who I don't understand why he's getting a push, especially at the expense of someone more talented than him.
Yes. You know, and it's funny because
adding to the whole racism thing,
yeah.
as you pointed
out. And by the way, the reason why we mentioned the things of, you know, of punishment is because Biggie said something that I found hilarious. I'm sure you found hilarious, too, on Twitter a couple weeks back. And he said, I believe it was, I think Rusev doesn't like watermelon and cornbread?
Or something like.
I remember the cornbread specifically, but basically trying to say, I don't think Rusev likes black people, African-Americans.
Because he was only beating black people at the time, and then he was fed Zack Ryder.
He was fed Zack Ryder. Okay, here's the thing. He has been fed Zack Ryder and Sin Cara first, I believe. And then eventually he was fed Zack Ryder to make people think, no, he doesn't just focus on black people. But the problem was is that they weren't spaced out properly. So it wasn't something like Sin Cara, Xavier Woods, Zack Ryder, R-Truth. No. It was something along
the
lines
of Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, R-Truth,
Xavier Woods, R-Truth again, I think. Yeah, you know. No, because remember that, Kofi Kingston, remember that R-Truth and Xavier Woods even had a feud with him at one pay-per-view where he beat them both.
It was a 2-on-1 where he beat them both at the same time. Thank God for Lana to even make him interesting. But this reset push is going to come back to bite them in the ass. Because unless he actually does become a super athlete, he's not going to entertain people. He is not entertaining right now. His pay-per-view match was a fraud. It was sucked.
Yeah, I feel as if he's better served as mid-card, quote-unquote, entertaining talent. The problem is, because the thing is I don't see him as the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And that's a problem because when you're pushing guys, you need to see them with the ability to hold that title. And I never see him with that ability. The only time I could see him with that ability is if, you know, you can see how the matches have taken tolls on people's bodies. If everyone's injured, and I mean that completely, and I hate to say that. If the Shield is injured, you know, if Daniel Bryan is injured, if a returning CM Punk is injured, if John Cena is injured, then maybe we can think, let's put it on Rusev. Quite possibly.
I wouldn't even do that. I'd rather give it to some fucking dude from NXT that's not Rusev.
Basically. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just
saying that's what I can see them doing.
But
yeah, it's just Rusev is not... It just doubly upsets me. Because, look, you want to feed him R-Truth, just the way you book these guys. R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Sin Cara. I guess. But Big E now. This is a guy who really had something going for him. And
well, I don't
still
think he was
fed. Personality and physical prowess.
I'll say this much. I don't think he was fed. I think that they did the match so well that I personally, and I say well as in, again, you mentioned that Rusev didn't have enough spots. I agree. Mm. But Big E did. So in a way,
I feel that this was... Logically, right? He couldn't have squashed Big E.
Right.
So I think this was literally just the minimum non-squash match.
Right, okay, fair.
You understand what I'm saying? So
yes,
it doesn't strike me as like, man, that was a 4-star hard-fought affair. Like, you know, we've had those arguments before, where it's like, hey, he looked good in defeat. Big E did not look good in defeat. He looked like a guy who held off this guy for about a minute and a half.
Right.
You know, I mean, it just doesn't impress me. It's very disappointing.
You know what really upsets me, I think, the most? I've never seen Alexander Rusev actually cut a promo, but the way, and I don't want to just put everything on WWE, but WWE is known for not letting people be themselves. I'm extremely nervous that one day we'll learn that he's the next Bray Wyatt, and WWE just didn't really want to let him speak.
Well, to be fair, Lana is good at what she does for him.
Oh, I mean that, but what I mean is that when you have a guy, when the guy or girl can speak for themselves, it does a lot more for them, I feel. If they are bad in the ring, let's say.
Yeah, that's what I agree.
But I mean, how well? I mean, this was a match that, again, I say he looked good in defeat, but sadly that doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
What I do think, though, is I'll say this. Big E needed to be the guy to, at the very least, break out of the clutch and then be put into it a minute later, mind you, but break out of the clutch.
Because
see, I feel as
if he's... That would have satisfied me.
Yes. That would have
That's satisfied how I feel. Me. Because that would have been, you know what? He was the first guy to break the move, and the move is not breakable. You know, like when we had the Master Lock thing, you know?
Yes, exactly.
It would have satisfied me to see Breaky break E. Big E breaks the hold. And,
right.
and yeah, right. even if he got put into it after somehow, I would have been happier. I would have still been disappointed with the feud and everything they've been done, but at least that would have mean that they were trying. You know, but that's why I argue that he's been fed. Because he, just like many others, lost to this camel clutch type move. And that's it. He didn't break out. He just had to deal with it. And it just disappoints me because now what do we do with Big E? I mean, if they start, like, putting him on the mid-card and jobbing him out, I would be furious.
Yeah.
Because it's not like this guy has been injured or anything. You know, where Ziggler, you can argue that his concussions have held him back, right? This is a guy without wellness violations, without injuries, with a boatload of fucking talent.
Yeah.
And a likable personality. And God knows why. If not for perhaps skin color, that they're holding this.
Well, I'll say this much. I don't think skin color is a big issue because, I mean, the next segment was Kofi and Bo Dallas, and then Kane came out and he, oh, wait. Ooh.
That's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, we have other guys on the roster who could play that role against Bo and,
And as stupid as, okay, here's the thing. As
right
stupid
after.
Right after. As stupid as this would sound, I would have enjoyed Zack Ryder, even though people wouldn't have known if he was a face or a heel because they don't know, you know, him at all. But I still think it would have been great to have just had Zack Ryder. Just, you know, just, I don't know, it would have been something. Bo could have made a New Jersey joke, or Long Island joke, rather. It would have been wonderful. I don't know, we could have had so many other people. But I don't understand why it had to be Kofi Kingston.
Because they found another black guy right after we just saw Big E get fed to Rusev.
Yeah.
That now we've got Kofi getting crushed by Kane for making a comment about
the
authority on Twitter. And it's just funny because, as you mentioned, Zack Ryder, who else would make a fucking comment? I mean, I hate to
actually,
do this.
Actually, that is true.
Dolph,
who else would? Oh, yeah,
no,
that would have been
Dolph
perfect.
Dolph Ziggler or Zack Ryder are
Sandow.
Active Twitter people.
Even though Sandow is in a face.
Sandow.
Even though he's in a face, but still.
No. But yeah, Dolph and Zack are faces who are active online. It would make sense for WWE to be like, hey, screw this guy. But Kofi Kingston, I mean, it's just...
That's why
it feels
as if
very weird. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's why I feel, personally, I feel as if they are very immature. And I know I sound like a broken record. I sound like I'm talking about the brand split again. But I just feel as if someone in the back thought, oh, they think we're racist. They think we're so progressive. We barely say the N-word anymore. We are so progressive. Why would they care? Oh, well, you know what? Screw them. We're going to do this in spite of them. And then you sit there and think, guys, aren't you like a multi-million dollar company? In spite. And then all of a sudden you see things like this, and these are my own possible scenarios. I'm assuming that they know because you have Big E make these tweets, and they read tweets. They believe me, look at Zack Ryder's career. They read tweets. So they know what happens. And they know...
And I guess to the credit about the segment, right? I mean, Bo did his part well and had fun with it because he managed to get the crowd to change their tune mid-word. Whereas as soon as he mentioned the Chicago Blackhawks, there was a raucous cheer that quickly turned to a huge boo as soon as he said, "We'll lose tonight."
I do think someone believes in him backstage. They really have to.
I believe in him.
Yeah.
Backstage.
No, I mean it though. Yes. No, I mean it. Like, you know, behind the curtain, someone believes in him, I believe.
And it'd be hard not to because, hey, he's got the wrestling pedigree. You know, he was generating the right reactions in NXT. He can go in the ring. You know, so you've got the whole combination of things where he can talk, he's got a family background of wrestling, and he's not bad in the ring. So I feel like he's at least going to be given a bit of a leash, like a longer leash because of that.
Yeah.
And he'll be fine, I think, because he's slowly falling into that character. I mean, even in the post game, you noticed some things that made you smile when Bo was talking.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I would have loved, though, if he had interacted with them, if only because I wanted him, and I know this sounds just interesting, but I wanted him to jump on Kane's back and just scream, "Believe!" As if to take down Kane.
Yeah, but see, he couldn't do that because
he isn't a face. I know.
Exactly.
He's a heel. But still, I just feel as if he wants to spread his message to everyone, regardless of who they are.
No, and he's not great messages. I mean, he loves to give good guys shots.
Yeah, the fact that he said, I want to give Kofi a shot is brilliant. I love it so much. It's great.
Yeah,
the one thing, though, the Twitter thing, by the way, I don't even think that's a bad explanation. Of course, the bad guy used. It could have been another guy. It's not even a bad explanation. It's just another thing of, I wanted to know beforehand. Because it just seemed like, seemed so random. And then it's, oh, it's probably because of that tweet. Okay.
Me, I don't know if it was the inability of the announce team, but it sounded like they were grasping at straws. And the thing is, for something like that, that segment came in out of fucking nowhere. You needed to sound sure. Whereas, like, you know what? Kofi tweeted about this earlier. They're trying to get back at him. Like, you know, guys, this maybe might actually be possibly because of this tweet that he might have sent out earlier that vaguely disrespected the authority. It's like, what?
And you know, it's just going to be the main of, is this going to be a feud? Because I will admit, Kofi versus Kane isn't a bad feud. It's just an interesting thing when it, or just maybe Kofi against the authority, maybe that's what they're trying to do or something. But obviously, you're laughing because it's like, are they really going to make a feud out of this? They're not.
Oh, Kofi Kingston getting a story? Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They need something else to fill Daniel Bryan not being on television.
I need to get some water. I'm sorry.
No, you want to know what makes me laugh? Also, I hate you. You want to know what makes me laugh, though? Thinking that Kane went from WWE title contender to chokeslamming Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, but he's doing it for the authority, and he was doing the title thing for the authority. So, and arguably, if Daniel had given up the titles, he would have been the one to receive it.
Yes.
So he didn't particularly lose anything yet.
No.
We shall see.
Yes. But yes. And then we move on to RVD versus Barrett. I mean, not much to say other than it was a good match, you know? But, I mean, because
did the Daniel segment fall after this, by the way? Because my sense of timing is off.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
go on about RVD, Barrett, please.
Again, it was a good match. I mean, nothing much to say, although I did text you when it first started. I said, by the way, this card is going this far, RVD will beat Barrett. He's the only heel to win on the card, and it's very interesting because the rumors were that he would be the only heel to win on the card, and I thought that has to be bull because there's no possible way that they can make an entire pay-per-view with only one heel winning. You know, there's a lot of faces on the card. Like, that can't be. And here we are.
Yeah, part of the reason we're upset, and again, arguably, this wasn't a bad match. In terms of match quality and ring, you know.
Yeah.
And it was
predictable.
I don't know. Predictable, yeah. It didn't fall flat for me, but there was literally no chance in my head that RVD was going to win here, and then Barrett won. So that was that. You know, like
exactly.
When he hurt his elbow on the pole. There was no part of me that sat there and thought, you know what?
No,
this is going to be it where he loses to RVD. But
this should have been the opening match. And I know for some you might think, but an opening match should be something that brings people, like, you know, up and makes them excited. Honestly, though, in this case, it's the one you wanted to get out of the way.
And
because
it would have fit if only because there were some spots to get people excited, I would argue.
Yes, I agree. So they could have had some exciting spots, and it could have been just a way to get people, to get the match out of the way. Because, honestly, like, unless you are a 15-year-old RVD mark, which actually was me when I was 15, you wouldn't see any chance of him winning.
Well, there were RVD chances, but it's just, the crowd was
ECW
chances
were great. ECW chances were great. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because that's what I would do if I was there. I would chant ECW for RVD.
Yeah, I'd gladly chant ECW for RVD. It was predictable, and that was it. You know, that's it. That's where it is. What else can we say? That's why we don't have much to say.
That's the issue. And then we have the Daniel Bryan-Stephanie segment. And, of course, Stephanie, in my opinion, is a great heel as always. You know, and then the ending was one of those things where it was the best and the worst thing, right? Where it was the best thing because, in a way, in my opinion, Brie got her, you know, her revenge on Stephanie. I mean, I texted you. In what job do you get to slap your boss across the face? In what job? I would like to mention why it's the worst thing, though, because it's the best thing for that reason, right? It's the worst thing because why could that not have happened on Raw?
There's another thing where I think I said earlier when I was talking about, like, the Kofi segment or something, this could have happened on Raw, right? This was another thing where we knew that they threw this together because Daniel couldn't wrestle, but it felt like we got the Rhodes Brothers thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
This Daniel Bryan segment and the Bo Dallas thing straight out of Raw segments for, like, tomorrow night. Those were Raw segments. They weren't that special. It wasn't like something big happened, like when The Rock and Stone Cold and Hogan came together for WrestleMania. You know, that's a segment at a pay-per-view. A segment at a pay-per-view is a special segment. Or a couple of years ago when Shawn and JBL they had a segment. You know, segments of pay-per-views were not completely uncommon, but they were big things. You know, Daniel Bryan and Stephanie was a big thing. But the way it was handled was not particularly a big thing. It was weird for me because of the fact that, well, first off, I was very disappointed with Bree's acting because I thought that she fell flat for me in that regard.
Yes.
Secondly, I guess I felt kind of empty when that whole segment ended because, I'm like, okay, so Daniel keeps his championships, right? I guess. Yes, maybe.
Yes.
And
see,
at the same
time,
I mean,
right there.
I don't know what's going to happen with the Stephanie Daniel thing because Stephanie as a heel can literally just come in tomorrow and just see Daniel just stripped.
Yeah.
And we can actually justify that because we can't even say she's doing it to be a heel. She got slapped by his wife. She can say, you know what? She's not in the company anymore, so by extension I have to punish you. You're stripped of your titles. Fuck you. And that makes sense. And again, the heels really shouldn't be making sense. But she actually now has an opportunity to make sense and can strip Daniel. And if she does, it's weird. Because, you get angry at Stephanie for being the mean boss, but wasn't she provoked in this case a little bit?
No, it's very interesting because I agree, and it's weird because, they just did so, I don't know. And it's, by the way, it's hard to explain. You have Stephanie, right? And she says things like, Daniel Bryan is, fighting champion, fighting champion, fighting champion, fighting champion. He isn't a fighting champion. And that's the problem. She's a heel, but she's making sense. As much as I agree with Daniel Bryan's principle, at the same time, though, he could easily give it up and possibly even try to give it up to someone who he believes deserves it in a weird way.
Yeah, and to his credit, Daniel was in storyline about to give up the titles. We saw him make that motion. I am confused because I don't know how to feel particularly about Brie here because, of course, Stephanie was laughing about Brie quitting because in her head the benefit wasn't her being able to fire Brie. It was just making Brie leave the company and hurting Daniel that way. So she did succeed in a way where Daniel has this – it basically ended up being where she got to fire Brie. Because the only thing is that Brie got to slap her, which was a huge disrespect thing.
Yes.
But
yes.
That's not going to come without repercussions.
No, and I also don't like that the crowd ate it up because as the crowd the thing is, I love Daniel Bryan. And I never want to say the words, I want his title to be stripped of him. But here I am saying it because I love him to the point where the second that he comes back, I want him to tear through every house that he can, every arena that he can until he gets it back. And get it back within the month, if not the day, of coming back.
Whenever Daniel comes back, I would love him to set the fucking world on fire and just destroy whoever has it to get it back. Because, A, Daniel's more interesting in pursuit, and B, we love Daniel Bryan. You and I both really do love him. I certainly understand that. I'm feeling weird about it now.
But I feel upset that the general public will eat up, apparently, unless they were manipulating cheers, which has happened, that the general public will eat up the fact that Daniel Bryan, possibly, from the way it looks like tonight, will walk away with his titles for 2 to 3 months, at the very least 2 months, and there will be no WWE World Heavyweight Championship on Raw or SmackDown or the next pay-per-view, and everyone is peachy. What kind of world do we live in?
I really don't know what's going on.
What kind of, am I old now? Is this how I feel about the young people now? Like, how can you just sit there and just think, yeah, of course that's right for Daniel Bryan to do. Take them and go home. No one else deserves them but Daniel Bryan. But
because I want Daniel to be my champion. But
yeah.
I understand that if he's injured, that, you know, I don't particularly want him to be champion because the heel was champion. And injured.
Yeah.
And not fighting. That'd be bullshit. Be like,
yeah.
Fuck you, man. You need to give up your title. And he'd be like, nah. So Daniel
and then everyone
wanting to give it up today, I will admit Daniel making the motion to give it up was the right thing. Because it restates the fact that he is that super babyface underdog that we just love. Because he does everything right.
Yes.
So
yeah.
In that way, yeah, I ate up what Daniel Bryan did. You know, I will admit to that myself. But I'm just... I had a weird aftertaste, I guess, from the segment where I sat there and I was like, huh? Because, look, I guess now he keeps his titles, but then at what cost? And I don't know if that's a good thing or not because it was off a Raw segment on a fucking pay-per-view. So
I know.
That wasn't exactly cool.
No, that's a huge problem. And now we have John Cena versus Bray Wyatt.
So we're here.
Would you like to talk about John Cena versus Bray Wyatt?
So we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, let's see what
would you
say about John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. I mean,
okay.
The match itself had some entertaining spots that I enjoyed. And at certain points during the match, I was happy with the fact that both Cena and Bray were selling injuries, pain, very good. I was very worried about the fact that they still had the Wyatt brothers, you know, Rowan and Harper, rather, the Wyatt family, not brothers, still participating early on in terms of, like, attacking John. Because I don't want there to be excuses. I don't want Bray to seem weak. I was very disappointed from the cage match because I thought that, you know, Bray came out looking weaker than he should have, even with the win, and that was amazing because John just has that quality.
You know what? Yeah, that's the problem. John has that quality because Bray, because here's the thing, ready? I feel as if John Cena is just that girlfriend or boyfriend, that significant other, that completely wrecks your life. Before meeting them, you can easily have a normal life, and there's nothing wrong with your life. Everything is just fine. And then you meet them, and everything goes to hell. Because Bray Wyatt, with his family, was able to get legitimate wins before meeting John Cena. And then his family would come in and beat the person up afterwards.
Right. Or if anything, if they needed to do heel shit, they would have him come in, but Bray would do the damage right after.
Exactly.
So it was booked in a way. But for this one, it's almost like they sit there and they think, wow, Bray can't stand up to John on his own. He needs the help of these people. And
it's just weird because, no, here's what I think. I think that they believe that not that Bray can't, but that no one can. John Cena is superhuman and needs to be treated as such. However, because he isn't superhuman, it makes everyone else look as if they are as if they are weaker.
Subhuman comparison,
yeah,
correct.
Subhuman, yeah. As if Bray Wyatt trying to fight John Cena is as if you or I tried to get into the ring and do it. Where it's like, wait a minute, we can't do this. Like, I can't wrestle John Cena. Satish, come in here and help me. Wait, Satish, get Daniel to come in here and help. Get a couple people that have hosted the show to come in here and help fight John Cena. Because God forbid I try to do it myself. I'm not a wrestler.
Right, and it just, why does it feel that way for somebody who was built over so strong? You know, being very wide.
Exactly.
And it's just, I guess it irked me because also, I liked that the Usos came out to help Cena in the sense of to even things out. I didn't like that the Usos were helping him in the fucking first place. Because it felt like I never got a resolution from that whole, like, you know, where's your John Cena now kind of thing. Because John didn't go out to save them.
No. It's very interesting because basically I think what happens is I think they just drop a lot of things. Because, hell,
but see, that's
a pretty
point.
No, that's the problem, is that I'm 100% sure that they dropped, and I mean completely dropped, this John Cena is a monster. Dropped it because they decided it was too whatever for them. It didn't work. It was too much. Mm. It was too this or that. Because when you look at this match, this is the this is why I'm actually, and again, don't crucify me for this, I'm hoping Bray Wyatt and Cena fight again. Because this is a perfect match that makes you think, you know what, Bray Wyatt can come right on back with that story about John Cena being a monster, and who would complain? Would you complain? I mean,
yeah, because really? I am so sure right now that
yeah.
what that would lead to
mm-hmm.
is a clean one-on-one match where John Cena mm-hmm. still beats Bray Wyatt. And then it
Fair
would
enough.
Just basically be like, you thought you had brought out the monster in me, but you didn't. I'm John Cena. Here's an attitude adjustment, and I win. And that's it.
Fair
and
enough, fair
we
enough.
Basically come full circle to the point where John shows no change at all, because that's part
yeah.
of his character. He
yeah.
still wins, and then effectively mm-hmm. completely buries Bray Wyatt, who was physically buried tonight. And while
yeah.
I thought that was a creative way to end it,
yes.
I just,
oh, very creative. I
yeah.
actually, it's kind of interesting, because throughout the night, since we've talked about other things, I've calmed down a bit. But I would like to show you my initial reaction, people listening. My initial reaction, and I've texted Satish about this, I believe that John Cena is a monster, and I mean that not as like a monster. I just mean that like the character John Cena, not the man,
mm-hmm.
the character John Cena is a monster and needs to be treated as such. He needs to be put into a cage. Because his actions are inexcusable. Because you tell me that Bray Wyatt is a monster, right? I agree. He's a heel. He's meant to be a monster. That's very bad, you know, that he's a monster. The things that he does are terrible. However, you have a guy like John Cena, your main face, who is told, you know, okay, John, you have to promote yourself for the kids, and you have to do this for the kids, and this for the kids, and this, you know, anti-bully this, and this, and this, and all this stuff, you know, hug the kids who have cancer. I mean, all these sad things that he does for the kids, and then tells them to believe in everything, and to, you know, and you know, never give up. And then what does he do? He proceeds to do, I mean, oh my God, I mean, I know we're in wrestling, so we can't have him say, you know, John, we can't have John Cena saying, I need to call an adult because I can't help, I can't fight Bray Wyatt on my own. Like, obviously they're all adults here. But we still cannot have men throwing steel steps at each other's heads.
I think it's funny because,
I
don't know. I
want to make that clear.
Criticizing, I don't know if it's me just criticizing John Cena versus John Cena, right?
Right, right.
But, in a weird way, like, what separated John from Bray tonight?
Nothing. Nothing. And what's even better, see, now I'm going to go into full rant mode. What's even better is when they tried to say this is a complete twist, Michael Cole said this is a complete twist from John Cena last month because now there's no rules. Well, thank goodness murder doesn't become legalized tomorrow. Otherwise, John Cena would be the first man out there killing people because the rules are gone. No such thing as morals. Doesn't matter. And again, chairs are fine, honestly, even though it was kind of funny how the chair was the exact fucking item that we were freaking out about a month ago, but chairs are okay. When you start throwing steel steps at people's heads, of course it's plastic. No shit, it's plastic. But we are supposed to believe that they are steel. When you throw steel steps at a guy's head, and I say guy because WWE has not said like outright, I think Bray Wyatt's the devil. Because if they actually said that, I'd go, oh, he's meant to be like Kane or Undertaker. Throw as many steel steps as you need to. Kill it with fire. Like I even said to you on air, Daniel Bryan should have probably ran over Kane. Because we're dealing with someone who is played as superhuman, you know, supernatural. Bray Wyatt is not meant to be billed that way. Bray Wyatt is billed as a normal. John Cena's even said he's a normal man. He's a. You're going to throw steel steps at the guy's head? Really?
I don't know. I guess I know that was your big take from the match. Mine was...
Yeah. Yes. I know.
Yeah. When I first started talking to Matt about John Cena, trying to explain why I hate him now, you know, in terms
yeah.
of recently, which
this
is about
was
a year
while
and
ago.
Yeah, a year and
yeah.
a half, maybe 2 years ago, because I'm trying
right.
to explain what he does now that's worse than what he used to do, and sort of relates to why he became so hated. And part of that is just the John Cena cell job, where after a brutal match, he would get up and act like everything was fine And what that does is not only does that devalue the entire match that you just put on, you know, everything that happened, it devalues the competitor and is disrespectful. You know, because
yeah.
why is John Cena allowed to not sell? I mean, Triple H, as I mentioned tonight, a guy who was vilified for burying people, he sold the shit out of everything tonight. So
oh, yeah.
if you go back and watch, if you didn't pick this up the first time, John, right after the match ends, will pull out his Never Give Up little armband, show it, look all strong, do a muscle pose, and then run towards the ring to help one of the Usos back towards the back. Because the Uso went through the brutal match. John didn't go through a last man standing match. Remember, he's fine.
Exactly.
He can help somebody to the back because he's John Cena. He can run back to the ring because he's John Cena. He did not go through a last man standing match at all. Perfectly fine. And that's what infuriated me. And I mean infuriated to the point where I sat there screaming like, John, what the fuck are you doing? Because everybody sells. And CM Punk is one of the best people at doing this goddamn thing. And partially because he was really hurting. But
I swear
to you, he doesn't sell this. So to the point where Bray has now been literally buried, and then Cena just runs thinking, oh, he's fine. The kids will see John is fine after the match. Everyone else is being down. No, John was fine. Bray must not really have hurt him at all, even though he used weapons and everything. So,
but I would also the fact that John Cena would be down for at least six counts sometimes. But now he's just fine. As if kids need to understand that, oh, it's okay. Because that's the thing. Before I even get to this scary point that I'll be making, I would like to say that another thing that really got me is the fact that John cheated to win. I know he didn't cheat compared to match rules, but again, morals-wise, you know, even though they didn't show Bray trying to claw his way out, still, Bray couldn't even try if he wanted to. Because John Cena, and again, was it clever? Oh, of course it was clever. It was brilliant.
It's funny, because I really thought, I had to suppress my thoughts because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You, in a last man standing match, right?
Right.
You use chairs, tables, stairs. To me, I think that's fair game. I actually think that's fair game. Because in my head, it's like, okay, John being a face, right? If you bring a knife to a gunfight, you're screwed.
Of course.
Get me? So in my head, even John being John, if Bray's using stairs, you got to bring the weapons to the fight. That's me.
Right.
So I wasn't as angry as you were about that. My thing was with the ending, right?
Right.
That was certainly a heel way where I don't know if you remember back to when Edge and Matt Hardy were having a feud over Lita, but the culmination of their match was a ladder match where it was Edge and Matt Hardy, and Lita was accompanying Edge to ringside and was there for the match, right?
Right.
And Edge won the match at the end by climbing the ladder while Lita had tied Matt's hands between the ropes and was holding him there. So Matt physically could not move to stop Edge from winning the match. And that was a heel thing to do. Now, when John Cena does it because we want to say that he's overcoming odds and everything, it's great. He taunted him before trapping him in something and didn't let him out, mind you. Didn't let him out. So he trapped a man in something, which is essentially a heel thing to do. And I had to suppress my thoughts because originally I thought that and I thought to myself, you're just nitpicking at John Cena because you hate John Cena, you know?
Right.
But
right.
I guess the more I think about it, I really think the times things like that have been done in history, it's a heel thing where it's like, that was despicable. He can't even move. You know,
that's
how
what
can
I'm trying
you actually,
to, you know, and
so,
that's the problem. And then
Where
you're supposed
after.
To be, because again, if it's anyone else, right, it's either a heel move or you could see why they're in this tweener type stage. Like if anyone in the Shield did that, we would be eating it up.
Right, because they're
John,
the rule breaker faces, similar to Stone Cold in that fashion of how they get their heat.
But John Cena is John Cena's Hulk Hogan, and I don't remember, and I don't know, maybe Hulk did this in his heyday, but currently with the way the WWE is. And you say that John Cena is anti-bullying, right? You're supposed to be the guy who, you know, who is able to say, like, because again, what if a kid thought, oh, well, John Cena did this, so I can. And I know it sounds crazy, and I know, again, I probably sound really nuts in saying this, but again, John Cena threw what was supposed to be steel steps at a man's head. Not at his body, not whatever. Hit him smack in the head, and they were supposed to be steel, mind you. So what if they were if they were actually steel? Bray Wyatt's head would have been, oh, my God. So my point is this. A kid looks at that and goes, oh, I have a bully. I can throw things at my bully's head. Because John Cena did it. And honestly, in a weird way, I want that to happen because I want something like this to bite WWE back in the ass, if only because, and this is a company that I like. God forbid, I hate a company. Because I want them to understand that if you're building a guy to be the guy that every kid is supposed to listen to and love, then you better make sure that he treats his opponent with respect regardless of how insane the person is. Because even though the person has done despicable things, what they're trying to teach kids is that if someone does a despicable thing, make sure to basically kill them. Please, make sure to kill them and then trap them.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know. Again, I'm still not as angry about that as you are, but I can't blame you for it. Because, I mean, I'm still standing here furious at John Cena because
yeah,
he shouldn't – Bray Wyatt's being wasted here. Bray Wyatt is being wasted in this feud. One of the most talented young men on the roster is being wasted, just another victim to John Cena. And if they fight again, because they might, and Cena wins again, I don't know if I want to renew the network, and I'm being honest. Because
I
love Daniel Bryan. But CM Punk, who was my fucking hero, is gone. Okay, so that's already strike one. And whether that's CM Punk's fault or WWE's fault, CM Punk is not on the roster anymore. So one of the huge reasons that I watched is gone. Growing up, Rey Mysterio was my guy. His role, and understandably so, has been tremendously reduced. I don't particularly need to watch that anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Thank God for NXT that's keeping me holding on, where I look at these kids and I think, like, you know, Kalisto is going to be a fucking star. Sami Zayn is going to be a fucking star. You know, that kind of stuff. Adrian Neville. Right, Tyler Breeze, these guys.
The reason why I keep on bringing this up over and over and over and over again is because, you know, it's because, again, they sit here and wonder, why is the stock not right? You know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why are people, you know, hey, maybe people are confused because they don't know who to root for. And I'm not talking about Bray Wyatt being cool or something like that. I know JR mentioned that in a podcast where he's like, oh, Bray Wyatt's a bit too cool to be a heel. And it's like, not even that. I'm just saying that maybe they don't know. Maybe parents can't actually sit down, the parents that aren't even into wrestling, and sit down and let their kid watch a guy who sits there and goes, you know, says things like, Bray Wyatt, you're being a little bitch, and things like that. Or,
so see,
or rather,
here's the thing for me. When you wonder about why the stock isn't spiking up, right?
Yeah, right.
I always spoke about having the stock when the WWE Network was released because it was new, it was flashy, it was going to work, right?
Right.
It's back to normal because you know what? The product is back to normal. When you look at it, the guys that you expect to win are still winning. John Cena is still beating everyone in his fucking path no matter what fucking happens to him because he's John Cena. Black people are still getting beaten their shit death because of whoever the hell is on the roster right now. People who are short are being mistreated and called midgets and WLCs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The women's matches are still shorter than everybody else, even though they could probably go. A Triple H is still main eventing. I mean, when you think about the product right now, I like a lot of stuff. I do, right? But when you talk about the way it is, John Cena's still winning. Triple H, although he lost, was in the main event again. You know, these new guys are being suppressed, where Big E and Bray are being fed to the larger looking, what a wrestler is supposed to look like kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
We still don't have a black WWE World Heavyweight Champion. We don't have a WWE title for the black people.
And it makes me think, it makes me really wonder, because the thing is,
it's kind of sad,
never,
isn't it?
Not just that, never in my life have I ever really said, because I've always thought to myself, there has to be something else going on here that we don't know about, and of course there is, but still, there has to be something that can't make me think that I can actually do a better job.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's getting,
I want to know what.
Yeah, but it's getting to the point where I really wish I could just have a conversation with Vince McMahon or with the people who are actually running it. If Vince is a bit too old, maybe he actually isn't running it as much as we think. You know, I want to know the people who are actually running it, and I want to be able to just, you know, hear what they have to say and see what they have to say, and then and just see. Because even if, let's say that, you know, there are people there who are specifically racist who are holding people back, as terrible as that is, at least we know. You know, at least it isn't speculation. You know, for all we know, maybe they just don't even know they're being racist or don't even care.
I think it's that they don't care, because in their head it's like, we employ black people and they can fight with us, so it's fine, you know. But
yeah.
I think it's sad because the cruiserweights aren't there anymore. You know, why aren't the cruiserweights there? Because WWE fucking exploited them. We don't have the little wrestlers division anymore because WWE fucking exploited it and made it terrible. You know, and when we do have two people who are shorter than normal wrestling, we make it seem like it's a circus act instead of a match.
Yeah.
The women have the potential to be good again, and yet we still stick them in very small, short matches. Even though they're improving, it's still pretty bad. And considering that we once had Trish and Lita at the top of the card, we've you know, downgraded till now, which it will be good again, but we've downgraded. So
yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, being vague a little bit, yes, but things haven't changed. And that's why people aren't going to buy the stock, because if you leave and come back and it's still the same, yeah, the WWE Network is great, but like I said, if you can't give these people a reason to renew, that's not going to look like as good as an investment as you thought it would. And I think people are catching on to that and realizing
it's
not going to work, just like they're printing fucking money, because people aren't going to pay. Yeah, it makes sense to pay $10 a month for pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely do that if I didn't hate the product. But if John Cena's still winning at every pay-per-view, you know, we've got the same tired storylines in a way almost going on with that are noticeably not as fun in terms of stories as the Attitude Era. There are reasons for displeasure, I'll say.
No, and it's very upsetting because if people have never heard our podcast before, I want people to understand that they should go back and hear other episodes, because we are actually, not only are we very energetic, and I'm also usually not sick, but we have so much passion and so much energy and so much, we love the product, but all of a sudden the product didn't love us. And again, you might sit there and think, well, why do they need to love them? Earlier, before the network, I would have agreed with you. I would have said, honestly, it's for the kids. It's only for the kids. But now, it's for everyone, literally for everyone. You need to do something to make the older fans think, no, we're still here for you. Please don't leave us. Because, yes, you have to think that way. You can't just think that it's the 80s again. If we manipulate them, it'll be okay. No, not only are we smarter now, but we have the internet now. You know, we can't just be manipulated into thinking, you know, well, I mean, John Cena's the top guy, so everyone has to love him. What if they don't like him, sir? They're just being the nonconformist teenagers. Actually, sir, I think they're in their 30s with their children. Actually, sir, their children are booing, too. Well, we'll have one or two of them. Yeah.
No matter what happens in a story, right?
Yeah.
And a static character is not meant to be loved. A static character is looked down upon in English writing. You know, we're basically someone who doesn't change.
Yeah.
Now, combine that with the fact that he has not changed for what may be the better part of 8 years or so.
Yeah.
8 to 10 years, perhaps. And then he's at the top of the card for the majority of those years. So much so that he was literally shoved down our throats, where it's like, you're going to like this guy, but there's nothing about him to like. You're going to like this guy. And 4 years later, you're still going to like him. You're still going to understand that he's going to win because he's better than all the rest, no matter what. I don't – why in wrestling, where wins and losses – go by the boards, you know, where it is okay to lose sometimes, should I follow a guy who just wins all the fucking time? And you half-ass any chances that you get to show his vulnerability or a spot in his morality that's weakened, you know? Because tomorrow night, Raw's going to hit, and what's going to happen? John's going to come out there like the returning hero, you know, like
yeah.
he just he just fucking slayed like a biblical beast or something and did it through the means of his own hands, mind you. I don't even know if he'll mention the Usos. It'll be really funny if he doesn't, because
yeah.
that would fit exactly into his character.
Yeah.
And
it's just...
It's going to go by
just,
the boards. Another
no,
John Cena thing.
Yeah, and the problem I think also I would like to mention is the fact that, you know, nowadays anyway, I understand if you don't want to do one-month rivalries, but two should be your max. If you're doing the triple, the trinity, it's not the movies, guys. Heck, I'll say this much even. People don't like sequels, even if you want to compare it to the movies. People don't like sequels, usually.
See, for me, the thing is, if you're going to do the trinity, right?
Right.
It should culminate at one of the big four. It should culminate at WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, or what would be Survivor Series.
Right.
It should culminate there. You know, so like the big John Cena, if you're going to do the Trinity, like if this is going to be a third match, it should have been at SummerSlam. Because that's a big money pay-per-view, you know? So
right.
if you're revisiting a match for the third time, you're going to make it big and you're going to do it at SummerSlam. Right?
Right.
Now, if they drag this out again, it's going to be a fourth match and then the Cena Wyatt thing. At Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do there?
Exactly.
You know, because if that's going to be part of your... Because people are going to buy SummerSlam regardless, you know? So you go big there, and you make it SummerSlam for a reason. And
yeah.
even if you don't, people are probably going to buy SummerSlam anyway, right? So you're kind of safe
right.
in that regard. When you've got Money in the Bank, I mean, and you wanted people... And this was the argument before when you needed people to actually really buy pay-per-views, or now it's more of buying the network, rather. If... Money in the Bank, I mean, this is not something people sit down and think, oh, I'm going to really buy this because I need it. And then you're having Bray Cena 4
yeah.
after a last man standing match? I mean, I just don't know what they're going to do from here. And the wrong man
yeah.
came out strong from this feud, so I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't, and I'm not excited to find out. I'm
yeah. and
in fear.
Yeah, and we move on to the main event, if only for a few minutes, because there actually isn't much to talk about. It was actually a great main event.
Well, we can
at first
give
I was,
a second, can't we?
We gave her a second already, because the thing is it was an amazing... Paige did as well as she could in the time limit, that in the span she was given. What else can we really say? It's one of those things where it's like, what else can
mm-hmm.
we say? You know, she did very well. Alicia Fox did very, very well. Hopefully her character stays long enough that she can spread it along to maybe other divas, women, whatever you want to call them, and give them more character.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's all I can really say. I mean, it's very interesting how, we talked about this before, how they had to give someone character because they had no one else, in a way.
Yeah,
okay,
no, because I'll take that. I mean, I just wanted
yeah.
to, I was upset because I thought it was short. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
And I do think they can go, but you know what? Yeah, let's set up the main event, because I want to finish on a positive note. I want to remember the good reason, you know, the good thing about tonight, because it
yeah,
was
because,
a well-booked match.
Oh,
that
yeah, the main event, yes.
I think got the crowd, you know, into
back.
It again.
Yeah, and because I have to say, after John Cena winning and then having, you know, the Divas fight, which is upsetting because the Divas shouldn't be an issue, but... When it's a short match with Paige, that becomes a problem. Especially any kind of... The fact that they think that that's a good cooldown match, you know, Divas, that's never a good cooldown match.
That's
a match that people just...
You would
yeah.
have been able to slide in the Adam Rose match after Paige.
Thank
like,
you. I was thinking, yes.
That's why I was upset about the whole segments thing. Because
yeah.
I'll give you Daniel Bryan and Stephanie on this thing, because you made the big build-up. He has to choose his life or his wife, his
right.
championship or
right.
his wife. Fine.
Right.
But the Bo Dallas thing and then the Rhodes match, that was completely unnecessary, where you could have given that time to Adam Rose and Swagger on the card. And
which, yes.
given a few extra minutes to Paige and Fox, who deserved it, fighting the only women's match on the card for the fucking title.
Which I would like to say, I'm pretty sure that they originally had planned Adam Rose and Jack Swagger for the card, if only because...
Right.
You look at the Rhodes brothers, right? Honestly, I don't think they needed to be taken out. I think they were also planned for the card because of the recent kind of little mini feud they've been having. It seemed like a natural progression. Same thing with Adam Rose and Jack Swagger. Adam Rose first appeared and barely fought Jack Swagger. Why would that happen if you wouldn't have a match? I mean, heck, Bo Dallas, who you can definitely feel as if this was thrown in out of nowhere, immediately appeared and started fighting people. So you can tell that he wasn't going to be put into a mainline story that would, you know, that would have had him jump onto Payback. Adam Rose did, though. Adam Rose had the story that you thought, all right, if he's not fighting Jack Swagger at first, if he's only making contact with him through little taunts or whatever, and same thing with Jack, you know, Jack is kidnapping Lemons. That's a weird sentence. We're going to have something happen at Payback. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm watching SmackDown a bit late, you know, earlier today, actually, just to make sure that I was caught up, and Jack Swagger and Adam Rose is on the card, and they fight, and Adam Rose wins. And mind you, you should watch the match. It actually wasn't a bad match. It was hilarious. That that clip of what just happened was on there because Adam Rose had jumped into Jack Swagger's arms. Jack stood there dazed, confused, threw him down, ran out of the ring, looked at Zeb Coulter with his hands out, screaming, "What just happened?" It was beautiful. It was beautiful. You should watch it. But the point is that why was he not on the pay-per-view card? Because I bet you money that there were too many things going on, and they just decided to just leave him off.
Which upsets me, because you think about cooldown matches. See, I've talked about this. Adam Rose is my entertainment and the entertainment. You know, this is a guy who is supposed to be fun and,
yeah,
and dorky and loving. What better kind of guy to use for a cooldown match?
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking here, but for some reason, and that's the funny thing too, it's just they had this feud, mind you, going on for almost a month, and it culminates on SmackDown. They wanted this guy to be on the card. Something happened somewhere. Which really makes me feel as if this is disorganized. Because how would you have a month-long feud end the 2 days before the pay-per-view on SmackDown?
And what upset me, too, is before we jump into the main event for a little bit longer, I know.
Yes.
This was a Chicago crowd that was, for the most part, a good crowd. So
yeah,
you had a chance to really gauge a reaction to Adam Rose tonight at the pay-per-view
yeah.
match.
Yeah.
And then you pulled away from it. You half-assed it, as I always say. And that's a big problem, because there are going to be people coming for Monday tomorrow, you know, backstage, who were saying, you know, maybe this Adam Rose guy isn't that big. But you never even gave him a real shot.
Exactly.
And that really hurts.
Oh, yeah. No, if they pull off Adam Rose, it's just more ammunition for me. It's kind of interesting. It's just more and more ammunition. It's actually the reason why I want them to make different packages for their WWE network. I want them to maybe make some packages that involve just getting the older content, because I would like them to know that, you know, and possibly even for you to let them know that we've stopped caring about your current product because of how bad it is. We're going to jump into the old stuff because that's all we want to pay you money for. Good day. Because
yeah.
wouldn't you pay for that if it was just for the older content, if it got this bad?
Yeah,
but you were able
I
to
know
pay a reduced...
You
yeah.
and I have talked about, like, you know, you suggested to me once the idea of,
yeah.
like, a bronze, silver, and gold, where it's like,
well,
if you pay
yes.
for this
well,
membership,
I've seen it,
you
I've
get
seen
this.
It elsewhere. I've seen it elsewhere, but I agreed with it.
No, but, yeah, you
yes,
brought
yes,
the
yes.
idea to me, rather, because
yes,
I
yes,
hadn't
yes.
really heard of it.
Right,
And I agreed because it made sense, where it's like, okay, so with this level of membership, you're allowed access to this, blah, blah, blah. And it works out, because if you tell me, I don't know, because I don't need the live programming. Maybe I just want to watch the old stuff, because your live programmer relates to your current stuff, and it kind of sucks at times, you know,
yeah.
and Legends House is not critically acclaimed. It's not a bad show, but please stop trying to shove it down our throats as if it's like an award-winning show.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I do want to, but I agree.
I have. It's not the worst thing in the world, but please, like, I know that they try
right.
to make everything they create seem like it's like the fucking, like, second coming of Jesus.
And I think that's the biggest problem. They do it in a way where, and because I and it's funny, because I'm not saying that we wouldn't do that if we worked with them, which is kind of an issue, actually, because I've talked about, you know, randomly, what if we won a contest and we got to, you know, be a commentator on Raw, right? How cool would that be? And honestly, it would be great on Raw. On a pay-per-view, though, I feel as if it would be terrible. If I had to call half these matches, they would have fired me immediately, and I wouldn't even have worked for them, because I'd be, you know, I'd have won a contest. They would have somehow found a way to sue me for everything I had, which is very little. So, you know.
I would have loved to work up. I would love to actually try and call a match. Because
yeah.
I know a few holds, too. So,
right.
I mean, I'm basically as competent in terms of holds as Michael Cole.
I would just
and
yeah. I would just
I could
try
be
to
Vince's puppet.
Yeah, I would just try to, at the very least, build up these guys, something that they don't do as much, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, well, at least Triple H picked up that he needs to build up on some guys, so much so that he's been able to put him over again. And
oh, yeah, speaking of
this match,
yeah.
For a minute, dude, Batista was Blue Tista, and that was weird. And I need to make that clear.
I need
that
to,
was
no,
weird only because of the fact that Randy and Triple H were decked out in black, and Blue Tista just shows up in mismatching blue. And I'm sitting there like, what the hell is up with his outfit?
I think this is another backstage thing that isn't being told, you know, put across well enough, where I think they're trying to, like, he's trying to give off this character of, I don't care what I wear. I don't care. I'm from L.A. Like, I'm in Hollywood now. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, whatever I want to do it. You know what? Deal with it, right? Because he said some of these things before, but he hasn't said them all in a way. So it's because as you've noticed, you know, before he joined Evolution, he would just wear the what some would call the douchiest outfit.
No, and it was completely random. I've been sitting there like, whoever dressed Batista is either an idiot or an absolute genius. And
genius.
I was going for genius.
But
it's
now
funny.
I
don't know. I agree with you. Because
no.
I think that is one of the little nuances of a character, where it's like he doesn't give a shit. And that's okay. It's kind of funny. But I don't know
but
that
now
for
it's
sure.
Bad. No, back then, when it was what he wore, not out to the ring, just wore to cut promos, the hats, completely for the character. Now is where I'm getting confused, where I'm thinking they just need to, because it's very interesting, because either WWE is not subtle at all, to the point where they're throwing, you know, steel steps at your head. That's how subtle they are. Or they're too subtle, and then they think that we're just going to get it.
I don't know if it was a Bautista to Blue Tista thing, where it reminded me of, like, how Bo does stuff.
No, not like
where
that.
It's like, Bo leave.
No, Blue Tista to Bautista.
You know. But it wasn't.
I would laugh if they thought that, though.
But
I would laugh if they thought that, though. If they thought we can make our own Twitter trend.
I hope there's a joke about it tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that's all. Like, I hope he stays in that outfit.
Yes, someone will say something one day. I mean, hell, Daniel Bryan, you know, talked about his belly button ring, or belly button tattoo rather. He was just, you know, you remember that, right? Where it's just it was like I don't think I'd want to be a part of a world where belly button tattoos are cool. Yeah, but anyway, talk about the main event before we have to cut ourselves off. I mean, as we said, it really, you know, got people back in. I mean, we had Triple H lose, which is an amazing thing to have currently. He's still in the main event, but he's losing. The only thing I think that in the beginning, they busted out the special stuff a bit too early, because then when they had that cool-down match period...
The pacing of the match was very weird.
Because
so much so that it almost seemed uninteresting when they hit that cooldown part, as you described.
Thank you. Because you know what it made me realize? It dawned on me that at Payback 2014, 10:25, 10:30 p.m., we're having a tag team match as the main event of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, because, see, I was a little unclear on the rules. I knew it was a no-hold-bar elimination. But when they started off brawling outside, I was like, oh, is the match Tornado? Is that going to be the entire thing?
Either Tornado or our Falls
cool.
Anywhere.
You know,
or
I thought that would
anywhere.
Be cool. And then when they moved back into the ring, it just immediately was like the work rate has gone down. Like, a turn down for, not even to make a turn down for what joke, but just, it just kind of smoothed out. And
right.
It was not bad per se, but the way they started off kind of, it was like a withdrawal kind of thing. And it hit you weird.
Yeah.
Where it was
it
like,
really
wow, this
did.
Match isn't that great. And they picked it up immediately. And they did a great job with that, you know, and the ending was very fun for me to watch. But it was just odd otherwise.
Yeah, it was, because once the special things happen at the beginning, it makes you think, well, why are we going back to the ring at all?
Right.
Especially if it's no holds barred and everything, so it's not like they're going to count you out.
But
so
apparently eliminations have to be in the ring.
Yes, which, again, I just really dislike that they just, like, someone
the
back there.
Of, hey, you know, eliminations need to be in the ring. Do they know that? They'll figure it out until today. Let's mention it anyway. Well, I guess, but it's being redundant. Everybody needs
exactly.
to know that, including the wrestlers.
Well, the wrestlers knew, obviously.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Yeah, right, I would laugh. Just immediately Randy Orton tries to pin someone outside the ring. Just, Randy, you can't do that.
Who makes up these? It's like, you're making up these rules as you go.
That would be, that's WWE, the video game. Make up the rules as you go along. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I would give this pay-per-view a 3 out of 5, and I know that might be a bit too high for you, but I think it's a 3 out of 5 because we had a 5 out of 5 match, but everything else dragged it down.
I wouldn't go that high.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
2.5, 2.5. Maybe
yeah,
I'll drop it to 2.5.
Yeah, because a 2 is really brutal. Like, it wasn't a failure, you know?
No.
And the match qualities were still solid at that much.
Yeah.
So I would give it the 2.5, but it barely crawled into 2.5, and that's really because of Shield Evolution having a huge, you know, impact on that.
Yeah, and it's just, they just really need to gain control of whatever they're doing, because it's funny, I feel bad because I will admit I want to work with WWE one day, I want to work for them one day, you know, because they do things right, and they have great competitors, and, you know, would love to be either a competitor or, you know, a voiceover person. I would like to do something with them in some capacity. But the problem becomes, do they even want me because I'm a minority? You know, do they want you because you're a minority? Or is that an issue? You know?
They certainly don't want me.
Yeah, they certainly don't want you. No, they'll love you, probably, depending. They'll think you're black. So, you know, they have black people on staff now. I'm sure they'd love you from whatever they think you are. The issue becomes, you know, it's just, okay, do they want me? All right, they want me, but, you know, do they want my ideas, or do they want me to nod and say, yes, sir, yes, sir,
mm-hmm.
yes, sir? Oh, you want to put two little people in a match and, no, oh, you want to put two little people in a costume and tell and make them seem like they're a normal, quote-unquote, normal-sized wrestler? Of course, sir, that's a brilliant idea. Oh, you're going to put, you know what I mean? Like, that's something they would do and just act like it didn't happen.
Right.
Just be like, yeah, there are two people in a costume. What? So what? People wear masks all the time. What? That's not weird. It's not weird at all. Sir, it's 2025. You know? Like, everyone can get married now to anything. We shouldn't be doing these types of matches.
So, yeah, 2.5 out of 5 really hits me about the same for this pay-per-view, by the way, because it brings me to a point where, as you're describing now,
yep.
I'm a little bit worried about the direction.
Yes. You know, and I think that's a huge issue.
And they can turn it around quicker than I am making it seem.
Yes.
But it'll be interesting to see if they pull the trigger.
Right. Oh, well. Well, either way, thank you guys for listening to those guys. We're tired. You know, we're just everything just...
Disappointed, tired.
Yeah.
Boy, I missed the feeling I had after WrestleMania, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what can we say? I think now that I've really talked about it and I've aired out my feelings and my grievances, I do see hope. I just don't know when it's coming. You know, I do see hope. I do see light. I do see end of tunnels. I just don't know how far away it is. And I don't know if maybe they're just, again, maybe, you know, if the network still works and everything still works, in a couple months from now they'll realize we can't have a lull period anymore. You know, we can't have a period where we think, well, I guess this is our period where, you know, it's after WrestleMania. We always have this. Maybe we can't have that anymore. You know,
no.
And then they'll understand. Well,
I mean,
it's
the best
going
we
to,
can, go ahead.
All I'm saying is it has to happen. Otherwise, they're going to fail. It's that simple.
That's funny because we'll probably be here talking about them till that point happens. You know, and
oh,
even
yeah.
then some
oh,
because
yeah.
that's what we are, what we do. And I guess on that note, it's always good for us to take a second and thank anyone out there listening for, you know, the support, the fact that you are sitting and listening to us talk about things that sounds like bitching for this much
to like us on Facebook at Those Guys. In the search bar, just typing in Those Guys. URL is /thoseguysontheradio. Of course, we always want you to like the Facebook or email us at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com because we need suggestions, input, and plus we update you on our scheduling and what we're doing for the week, perhaps on that day. So it helps you out, helps us out.
Definitely. I mean, tomorrow we're doing Monday Night Raw, 11:30 p.m. after Raw, which will be a very interesting Raw if you've seen this pay-per-view. And what else can we say? Just thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. I will be playing us out. I will be playing us out. Sitch doesn't like it when I say that. I'll be playing us out with a song that I think really, you know, shows how we feel about this.
Fucking play us out.